The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Welcome to Round Ball Stew. I am Matt Straub. It is Wednesday, January 26th, and this is your 5x5 episode. Five writers from NBC Sports Edge for 5 minutes each. We will talk some young and sometimes volatile fantasy options who have been trending up lately, the latest on Klay Thompson's comeback tour, the return of Anthony Davis, plus some win totals and MVP odds with Von Dalzell. All that and more is coming up. As we get things started, Raf, you're stepping into the leadoff role. I know you're ready.
Sounds like a good idea. Let's start on a positive note. And Cade Cunningham, of course, this happened hours after we recorded our Rookie of the Year podcast or web show, whatever you call it.
Yeah, YouTube video.
And a few of us, myself included, explicitly stated that Evan Mobley is a clear favorite for Rookie of the Year. Now, I stand by that. But I think Cade Cunningham gave us an emphatic reminder that the race is nowhere near over. There's still a lot of basketball to be played after what he did last night. 34 points on 14 of 26 shooting, 8 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals, 4 blocks, and 6 three-pointers. According to the Elias Sports Bureau, he's the second rookie since 1973-74 with 30 or more points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists, and 4 blocks in the game. The other rookie is a man by the name of Michael Jordan. Pretty good company to be in, I'd assume, you know.
Yeah, according to the Elias Sports Bureau, that's good.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, from a fantasy standpoint, with that performance, Cunningham is now the top-ranked fantasy rookie in 9-cat. He's 76th, Mobley 78th. Cunningham's been 43rd in 9-cat over the last 2 weeks, according to Basketball Monster. It seems like he's really turning a corner. Obviously, early in the season, he missed the time due to the sprained ankle and got off to a slow start. Then Jesse got rolling 4 games out due to health and safety protocols. Now he's back, and knock on wood, I think it stonks, I guess. You know, the stock's just going up at this point. So what are your thoughts on Cade Cunningham and his recent play? And maybe if we might have a Rookie of the Year race that's more than just Mobley and Scotty Barnes.
Yeah, pun intended when you said stocks there after that defensive extravaganza on Tuesday night.
I actually said stonks, but I didn't know if you get stonks. But yeah, stonks, stocks, you know what it is.
Yeah, I mean, look, the thing about Cade Cunningham was he was a headache in both field goal percentage and turnovers for a while there. And Ryan and I, a year or two ago, started calling those sub-zero categories. Like, those three areas where, like, in an 8 or 9 category, well, in a 9 category league, someone can put you in a deficit, right? They can actually sink you. And it's hard when a guy is hurting you in 2 of those, I think. That's always kind of the way I've thought of it. But he's shooting better now. He's over 44% since the start of January in 12 games. So that is a huge difference maker, because we all can pretty much handle a guy who just has high turnovers. And that's kind of what he's starting to look like now. A guy who's helping you in, I don't know, 7 out of 9 categories all of a sudden with the blocks. So I love it. I mean, I think I don't have him in like the majority of my leagues, but where I don't have him, I feel like I missed out on a chance to acquire him in trades.
Yeah, I think, you know, you mentioned turnovers. That's one concern. Something else that I think Dwayne Casey brought up yesterday is a lack of foul calls. You know, he's going in there and taking some contact, and he's kind of getting that rookie treatment where they don't really give you the calls that you deserve early on. So over the last 2 weeks, he's been 85.7% from the foul line, but he hasn't been getting there very often. And I think you look at a Josh Giddey, for example, where he doesn't get to the line very often, but he's far lower in terms of percentage.
But when he does, he clangs them.
Yeah, exactly. I guess if you're a fantasy manager who has Cunningham, you're kind of thankful that when he does get to the line, taking advantage of those opportunities, but you'd certainly like to see him get there more. It may make the scoring even easier for him.
Clearly, Raf, we can talk about Cade all day, but we actually only have a minute left, so I don't want to shortchange this next guy because I think he's a pretty interesting case. So let's hear it.
Kevin Porter Jr. I'm starting to think that he might be like the point guard version of an RJ Barrett, where his placement in the rotation makes him a must roster, but the production doesn't exactly line up with that. For the season, he's 247th in 9-cat, which is absolutely brutal for a starting point guard. 16-5-9 with 2 3-pointers and 4 turnovers last night against the Spurs. Man, 6th-round value over the last 2 weeks is good, especially compared to what he's done. But I don't know about him in terms of the rest of the season outlook. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, the last 5 games, he's been pretty good, around 18, nearly 18 points, 6.6 dimes. We're going to hear the alarm in a second, but we'll go slightly past it to finish this. 1.6 steals, 2.8 threes, 48 from the field, almost 77 from the line with the 2.6 turnovers. Like, if... Okay, we heard it. We know we're out of time. We're going to go slightly past it. If we were getting that guy, I think we'd feel great about it, right? Sign me up. Sign me up for 76 from the free throw line, 2.6 turnovers, great. But that's a 5-game sample. I feel like that's probably the outlier. I mean, maybe if you're an optimist, you can say, oh, he's turning the corner before our eyes. If you want to, whatever narrative you want to tell yourself, I think I lean more towards he's probably going to continue to be just crushing you in percentages and turnovers more often than not. And maybe you have a little sell high window here in fantasy for a guy who a lot of people have wanted to drop for a lot of the year. So that's kind of where I'm at.
He's also not giving you defensive stats, so he can't really make up for those deficiencies in another area either.
I think if you have him, you hope that he's turning the corner, right? But and you, because you probably can't. I mean, you're probably not going to fool anyone with this 5 games in terms of a fantasy trade. So, all right. Well, less optimistic note there, but we tried.
Yeah, we did.
All right. Thanks, Raf. We'll see you back here soon.
All right. Take care.
Okay. I'm going to add Brad Stonebreaker. Brad, how are you, man?
I'm doing well. How are you, Matt?
So let's start, Brad. I think the first guy on your list is a guy who I would describe as soul-crushingly average for a lot of this season, but seems to be finding another gear now. So tell us your latest thoughts on Yusuf Nurkic.
Yeah, man. So last night, tough loss to Minnesota. 20 points, 14 boards, 4 assists and a steal in 31 minutes. He recorded his 6th straight double-double, and somehow that is the longest double-double streak of his career for a guy who averaged a double-double in 4 seasons, including this one. So that was really... I found that very astounding. The steals have always been there, 1.2 a game. And finally, it's that thing we've probably talked multiple times, that big men who aren't blocking shots this season, extravaganza. Finally, they're starting to show up. 1.2 of them per game over his last 5, as opposed to 0.6 on the season. But, of course, there's a but. If you're looking at his season averages compared to like the last 2 weeks when he's been turning on, playing well, he's shooting 8% lower, almost 8% lower from the free throw line. And he's turning it over 50% more. So 2.4 as opposed to 3.6. Even though the blocks are up, which was the main concern, those two things, taking hits, keep him around that top, like barely top 100, maybe top 90-ish range. So I guess my question, is he ever going to totally string it all together? Do you think we're going to see that mid-round potential that we've seen before for the second half of the season, or do you think he's just what he is at this point, you know?
I mean, I think overall you've got to be pretty thrilled with what we've seen since the start of January, right? Like almost 17.5 points, 13.5 rebounds, almost 4 assists. The blocks are at least up to 0.8 from 0.5. That 0.5 number was just brutal. And really, like, let's look at his first through December, right? I mean, he was around 13 points, 10 rebounds, a steal, 2.5 assists. If you were getting that with 1+ blocks, you'd be like, this isn't really what I drafted, but you'd be okay with it. It was the blocks. And so now we're seeing the spike in production. I think I'm okay with it overall. And I think you got to be overall thrilled with this trend.
Yeah, agree. I think the free throws they'll fix themselves. And it, I guess the steals are there too, which is nice. They've always been there. I think he has won in at least like 8 or so straight games, which is really encouraging, even if he is forgetting to block shots for certain nights. And also, it's cool that CJ has come back, and he's actually been playing very well with CJ. So hopefully, I don't know if there are any numbers behind this per se, but CJ being there and defenders putting more pressure on him might make things easier for Nurkic down low. I don't know, because the 5 games since CJ has returned, Nurkic has looked pretty good. So maybe that's a trend to go forward. I don't know. We'll see when more games are played.
All right, so keeping it in the Western Conference, Brad, I want to hear your thoughts on one Luke Kennard, who had a huge game on Tuesday.
Yes, massive game. Hero of the night. Real quick breakdown, if whoever missed that game. Clippers are down 35 at some point in that game. Fast forward to the fourth, they're down 6. Luke Kennard hits a 32-footer, and then the Wizards just don't inbound the ball. And then Luke Kennard gets a 4-point play, and they win the game by 1, which I cannot believe it. But yeah, and Kennard ended with one of the best games of the season with 25 points on 8 of 13, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, and a steal. without any turnovers. He missed 9 games in protocols, but in the 4 since, he has looked better each one and finally played 30 minutes last night. Now, of course, there's always a caveat, always an issue, but there's guys, this roster, of course, I'm going to ignore Kawhi Leonard, Paul George. I don't think they're playing super soon. But the other wings, they got Amir Coffey, Nick Batum, Marcus Morris sat out last night with personal issue. Do you think there's some room for Luke Kennard to cut out even just a late round role as a points triples guy at the very least on a team so full of wings?
Yeah, I think so, because look at what he did before he was in the protocols. He was playing really well for a long stretch there, and he was on my radar when he first came back. So I think, no, are we going to see 25, 8, and 6 often? No, but like points and threes and all that good stuff and a handful of assists. Yeah, I like Kennard, and I think he's 29% rostered in Yahoo League, so I think he's not available in many of my leagues, but I think if he's available in yours, I think he's a priority pickup. I don't know, why can't it just be Coffey and Kennard, the Coffey and Kennard show? I understand the Batum Morris argument.
Yeah, and then there's alliteration there too. It just makes the most sense, you know. I'm sold on Kennard. I might prefer Coffey just because a little more upside, just a little everywhere. I think Aaron might be talking about him, so I'm curious to see what he says. But I'm sold on Kennard, and 29% of leagues seems far too low with what we've seen from him this season.
Yeah, and I'm sure that number is going to spike a little bit after the more people see that box score and make moves. But you're right, we are going to talk about Coffey in a second. And on that note, we are going to talk about something else first. So, Brad, we're out of time. Thanks.
Just giving a spoiler here.
All right, see ya.
Thanks, Matt.
We welcome in Vaughn Dalzell from NBC Sports Edge Betting with a background I've never seen before. This is an eye-catching background. What's going on, Vaughn?
You want to hear an interesting story about today?
I do.
So my neighbor just got a puppy a couple days ago, and the puppy is now realizing that person has to work, and they think that the person's never coming back, and it's by itself forever. So it hasn't stopped crying since 9 a.m., and it's now, you know, past noon here. So, I actually record in my apartment anymore. I'm now banned from my own apartment because of my neighbor's dog.
Wow.
Yeah, it's tough.
Wow. Exile.
Yeah, I mean, but we make a way. You know, when you get to record Matt Strip, we make a way.
And by the way, I will say, speaking of dogs, my dog has been gnawing on a bone underneath the desk this entire time, which probably has been audible at some point, and has kicked my internet at least once and unplugged it. So dog adventures abound today.
The best and the worst. But yeah, maybe my neighbor should just give their dog a bone. That'd probably solve all the problems.
All right, Vaughn. I believe first up, you have something on a team very near and dear to my heart, the Atlanta Hawks. What's going on here? Tell me.
Oh, I mean, this is the time. This is the time to buy in, Matt. Over 40.5 wins, their team total. I mean, I think they're finishing above 500. I don't know about you. I'm sure you support that. But they are catching some heat right now with 4 straight wins. You know, they have a favorable schedule down the stretch. I looked at their strength of schedule, the 7th easiest in terms of average opponent rank. So certainly a beneficial factor for a guy like Trae Young, who's getting hot right now. I've been betting on him lately. You know, he's dropping 30 points left and right. Not as focused on the passing lately either, because he's trying to get wins and he's taking control late in games. So, I think the Hawks are a very good team to bet on now. I believe they're a playoff team. I've always believed that, and I believe they're going over 40.5 wins. Although right now they're sitting at 21-25 at the time of this recording, I still think they're going to make a strong push in the second half, similar to how they did last year.
You forced me to go back and look and relive the horror of the Hawks going 6-16 from late November to mid-January, which still blows my mind that happened. But yeah, this is starting to look more like the team that went on that run last year after starting out 14-20. 3 of their last 4 wins are Bucks, Heat, Hornets, and they crushed the Hornets on Sunday. So DeAndre Hunter, you're kind of, I think, betting on DeAndre Hunter to stay healthy a little bit, because it feels like he's been the catalyst to this thing. But yeah, by my math, they have to go 20-16 to win that wager the rest of the way, if my arithmetic's right. So I like it. Okay, topic number 2 from the betting vantage point. Where do you want to go?
Joel Embiid, man, MVP'd. Is that what they call him nowadays? That's what they've always called him in Philly, baby.
Some are saying.
This is the process. And he came out yesterday in the tunnel. I used to live outside of Philly. And when I saw him come out of the tunnel watching the pregame, and they said, Joel, the process, Embiid, and he flexed. And I was like, yeah, he's dropping 30. That's another 30-piece night incoming here. 38, 40, 52, 30, 42 in his last 4 games. He scored 30 or more points in 14 of his last 15, 16 of his last 18. I mean, we talked about this a little bit. We did the betting and fantasy crossover, and his odds on Christmas Eve were plus 4,000. They are now down to plus 300 or smaller after his eruption against the Pelicans, where Jonas Valanciunas ducked Joel Embiid, if anyone was interested in that one, because I thought that was going to be a great matchup. And Valanciunas said, I'll take the rest night. I'll take the night off. I'm in my 30s, brother. So, Joel Embiid's got everything.
As did the entire rotation, by the way. Their whole rotation sat that one out pretty much.
Yeah, it's just like none of them wanting a piece of Joel Embiid, and I don't blame them, because right now this guy is just rolling, and I think if you haven't bet on him yet to MVP, you should, because compared to the other guys that are in the competition, Curry, Giannis, and Jokic, they've already won MVPs. He's the only one that hasn't. People want to bet on Embiid.
Even at plus 300, we're still into it.
I think he's going to take over and be the favorite. Like, I spoke to Points Bet traders, and they said we're protecting the guy. When I asked them, Embiid was plus 1,100 and plus 900 in other books, and Points Bet him at plus 600. So I said, what's up with that? And they said he's going to be the favorite here pretty soon. And sure enough, he's tied with Steph Curry or Giannis right now for the favorite. So I love Embiid. I think it's playable down to the plus 100 if you haven't gotten the market yet. But he's going to be the favorite here to take it over. And I think the Sixers are going to be a team worth betting on to win games outright moving forward.
The age-old question, can he stay healthy? Similar to what I was saying about, can't you're betting on the guy to stay healthy. Still hasn't reached 65 games in a season in his career. Now, it's kind of tricky because we're not talking about all 82-game seasons. But that's the only question, or maybe the key question.
Could happen this year. He's looking good. He only played 51 games the past two seasons apiece. He has 36 already this season. Career highs in field goals, points. He's rolling.
Only missed one game since late November. Vaughn, we have shy of a minute left. So what's your parting thought here?
All right. Well, I've talked about this too many times. I don't like the Lakers or the Nets. These rosters, I don't know how you can make these rosters up and think they're championship teams. I get the big three with Kyrie, Harden, and Durant. But you've already seen James Harden having problems with Kyrie because he doesn't want to get vaccinated. Durant's hurt. The rest of the roster is made up of guys named Blake Griffin, Nick Claxton, and LaMarcus Aldridge. So, I mean, the Lakers, you already know the Lakers are trying to shake it up and trade, but fade those two teams, the Suns, the Jazz, the Bucks, the Heat. Those are the teams you want to back in the playoffs. You're making it deep. So that's my best piece of advice for some future markets.
All right. I think we have just now practically hit the buzzer. You can hear Vaughn on the Bet the Edge podcast. Vaughn, always great to have you here, man. Thanks.
Thank you, Matt. Go
hard. All right. Yes, sir. Talk to you soon.
Bring on spring projects with Spring Black Friday Savings from The Home Depot. With free delivery on over 2 million items, you can bring on the spring cleaning, the patio decorating, and the front yard gardening. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Bring on the spring doing and spring your way only at The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
We have two writers still to come. First, we're going to take a very quick break. The NFL playoffs are here, and NBC Sports Edge Plus is giving you a special offer. Get 15% off an Edge Plus annual subscription throughout the playoffs when you use promo code PLAYOFF15. Get every tool for every game at one low price. It's easier than ever to play and wager with confidence when you have NBC Sports Edge Plus. Also, download the NBC Sports Predictor app powered by PointsBet and enter Wednesday's free NBA pick and roll contest for a chance to win $50,000. This week, we're highlighting matchups between the Kings and Hawks, Raptors and Bulls, and Mavericks and Blazers. So if you don't have the Predictor app yet, download it now. We are now going to welcome in Jared Johnson.
Hello.
What's on your mind?
All right. Let's talk about Sea Captain Clay. He returned from a two-game absence last night, and for the first time this season, he shot 50% from the floor for a line of 15 points, 2 rebounds, 6 assists, including some beautiful behind-the-back dimes on the break. and 3 triples, just 1 turnover in 26 minutes. Thompson said after the game that the knee that he was feeling a little bit sore was feeling great. It was just a little bit of a hyperextension, but some rest and he was fine. Now, some important aspect of this game was Steve Kerr altered his rotation a little bit because Clay was spending so much time on the bench with his minutes restrictions. And he mentioned this, that it was tough for him to basically find his rhythm. And last night, he looked the best he has since his season debut. So he acknowledged after the game, he said, taking the years off I have, it reminds me of my rookie season as far as just learning the offense and the spacing and where I can get my shots off. So after last night's performance, I'm not ready to say that, yes, Clay is back. This is going to be the Clay we're going to see every night moving forward. But I really enjoy seeing these little glimpses here and there. I do acknowledge it'll probably be a bumpy road, but hey, this was a sign that we're moving in the right direction. Would you like to push back against
no,
me?
No, I mean,
are you a sea captain?
Sea captain because he takes a boat, right, to games? What a life,
yeah,
by the
he
way.
Takes a boat to the games,
I heard,
yes.
When I heard that, I was so jealous. Like, that sounds amazing.
Yes. He also used to park his boat just like randomly on the street.
Incredible.
In San Francisco.
Yeah. I mean, I think, look, if you have Clay, you're very grateful that most of us play in daily fantasy, you know, lineup change world these days. And
right.
I'll say for the 100th time, I think weekly leagues should be a thing of the past. Weekly lineup locking should be a thing of the past in this day and age. And I mean, look, he's a guy. Yeah. I think he's a fine in that situation. As long as you don't have too many guys, I mean, who would be like, I don't think you want Kyrie Irving and Klay Thompson necessarily on the same roster, right? Like you got to have Klay, let Klay be your most volatile guy in terms of missed games. And I think you're fine. And
right.
we're expecting more, right? Like we're expecting a bunch more missed games, but at least like when he's out there, you know, he's playable and that's all we can ask.
Right. And I think just them finishing up, making the rotations better, his minutes getting expanded over the year, that should help him kind of become mm-hmm. Clay again. I was going to talk about Jose Alvarado, but man, last night, Jonathan Kuminga, I could not talk about him after yeah. last night's performance. He was coming off 3 straight single-digit stinkers. His previous game was a scoreless performance in just 8 minutes off the bench and a win over Utah. But last night, this young kid was flying all over the floor for 22 points, 5 boards, 4 triples, and just 1 turnover in 18 minutes off the bench. He looked incredible. He was throwing down just these. The amount of lift this man gets when he takes off for the rim is just a sight to behold. And not only that, but his 3-point stroke looked smooth. Caveat, he was 8 of 9 from the floor, 4 of 4 from distance, and 2 right. of 2 from the stripe. So I don't think this is quite replicable. We've kind of been through this routine before where he has these incredible games. And the problem is Steve Kerr, if that rookie makes a single mistake, he will not hesitate to pull him out of the rotation. And if the mistake is bad enough, he'll let him sit for the entire night. But I just wanted to kind of mention this beautiful game that this rookie had. And it was absolutely incredible to watch.
It was a 38-point game. So, like, I think he's still kind of off
yeah.
our... Given all the context of that and everything you just said, I think it's a reminder that wildly intriguing prospect for down the road, but should probably still be off our fantasy radars just at the moment, given everything you just said.
Yeah. Yeah, for standard leagues, yeah. More of like a... If you have him in a dynasty league, you should be super
right.
excited. Because this man has a ton of potential.
Am I wrong that was the jump shot kind of one of the bigger questions about him coming into this season? And he's proving that.
Accurate.
Yeah. And I mean, he's proving that maybe that is going to be an asset. So that's exciting.
Yes. Yes. Like I'm saying, when he was pulling up from three, they looked very, very smooth.
All right. Jared, we're in uncharted waters here. You normally close out this podcast. Aaron Robinson is here. So we're going to navigate this unusual thing. You're usually here to end it, but I'm going to say goodbye to you and I'm bring Aaron in.
All right. Adios. Have fun with Ace.
At long last, for starters, I think the first thing we wanted to talk about, or you wanted to talk about, I should say, was we had an Anthony Davis sighting.
We had an Anthony Davis sighting. The brow was back in uniform last night for the Lakers, man. And though, you know, it wasn't an explosive night for him, obviously 8 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. He did have 4 blocks and 1 steal in just 25 minutes of play. So he was absolutely outstanding for the Lakers defensively last night. And you know, that's something that he's going to bring night in and night out, man. Obviously, after the game, Coach Vogel said that, you know, they want to get him some more minutes, where he said it's going to be a building block. So they're going to kind of work him there. Obviously, it's going to be tough because they're playing Joel Embiid and the Sixers on Thursday, and he's been absolutely running a rough shot on the NBA. And, you know, I know they don't want LeBron playing five against Embiid. And I see last night, DeAndre Jordan and Dwight Howard both got DNPs. So, you know, obviously Vogel's not, you know, too confident in those guys. So I think Thursday you might get a lot more of Anthony Davis going up against Embiid. And that's going to be a matchup that I'm certainly looking forward to, man. But, you know, the Lakers obviously were able to get a win against the Nets. They were shorthanded, but you know, they looked better, though. Like, the defense looked a lot better. Obviously, LeBron is, you know, looking like vintage LeBron, getting those steals and getting out in passing lanes and getting some breakaway dunks and stuff. So I liked what I saw from Anthony Davis last night, and the Lakers starting to look a little better. So, you know, we'll see if they can kind of finally, you know, start to turn it around here.
Yeah, and I'm curious what fantasy managers are going to get from Anthony Davis in the second half. I think talk about a guy who could completely alter some fantasy standings, some fantasy league standings. Who, you know, having kind of almost a down year where he's averaging almost 23 points, 10 rebounds, and 2 blocks a game. That's like kind of an off year for him. So that's a fascinating storyline for me, what Anthony Davis does down the stretch.
Biggest thing could be if he can stay on the court, man. I mean, this dude is on an injury report more than, you know, almost any other player this year, man. So if he can stay healthy, then, you know, I think he's gonna make somebody's year for sure and start 2022 off. But obviously, if he can't stay healthy, then we'll be in the same place we've been with him, you know, this whole season. So that's the most important thing for AD.
Right. All right. Well, I think the next storyline you wanted to hit is also from LA, but it's on the Clippers side of things.
Yes. Obviously, we had an Amir Coffey sighting last night in what was an absolutely preposterous game for my Washington Wizards. My little brother was actually at the game, and I was kind of following the box score, and they were up 30 at half. All right, you know what I'm saying? Pack it up. It's going to be a great win for the Wizards. He FaceTimes me later. Was like, yo, they lost. I was like, what? How'd they lose? I go to the box score and I see, obviously, Amir Coffey finishes 29 points last night, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, 1 block, and 3 triples, man. And he obviously was outstanding, career high night for Amir Coffey last night. And he's somebody who, as of last night, was only rostered in 24% of Yahoo leagues, man. But he's been playing really well lately. He's providing sixth round value over the last 2 weeks. And he's a guy that, you know, obviously starting now, he's getting minutes in the 30s, averaging 30 minutes per game in the month of January. So, you know, obviously with the news dropping that with Paul George, that he might elect for surgery here,
right,
with his elbow. He's a guy that could be extremely valuable as we hit the second half of the season here. We don't know what's going to happen with Kawhi. The Clippers right now they have a three-game lead over the Blazers and a 5-game lead over the Pelicans for that last play-in spot. So don't really know. Like, you know, they're in kind of that purgatory where even if they get Paul George back, like, they're not going to win a championship, but they're good enough to, you know, kind of contend and maybe, you know, keep the fans happy if they can kind of get to that 8 seed or, you know, win a play-in game or something like that. So Coffey's the guy that's going to be in line for, you know, a lot of minutes, in my opinion. In January, he's been playing well, 13 points a game, 4.2 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2.2 triples per game in the month of January, and he's playing 30 minutes a game. So he's somebody that definitely is worth a look if you're looking for somebody that can kind of get you some value, some triples, and a little bit of everything kind of there, you know, as we hit the second half of the season.
Yeah, a few loose ends to tie up here. First of all, so the Wizards were up 35 in that game, right?
They were up 30 at the half, and they were up as much as 35. They were up 10 with 6 seconds left, and they lost the game. Kuzma had a 5-second call. Kennard drained like a 40-footer from like the 5-second line. And then the following possession, they were up 3, and they get a 4-point play, and Kennard makes the free throw to win it on a 4-point play. It was absolutely the most absurd thing I've ever seen in my life.
Man, that is crazy. As for Coffey, that was a huge game for his fantasy outlook, I think, and I'm guessing he got dropped some places recently after having averaged just 7.7 points over the previous 3 games. So a huge development. And by the way, that report that you kind of referenced, there's our alarm, ESPN's Brian Windhorst reporting, as you said, that Paul George could undergo a season-ending surgery. So he's got a huge potential rest of season runway here as I'm getting ready to bring in Raf for the last word.
Yeah, I'm back. A bit different this week with Aaron instead of Jared.
I know. We've all gotten accustomed to the brief Raf Jared Matt roundtable at the end, but now it's a Aaron Matt Raf roundtable.
I'm crashing the party, baby.
what's your final thought here, Raf?
I'm glad you brought up that Clippers game. I'm in complete agreement on Amir Coffey. I didn't even hear about the Paul George report, but you know, even so, like you mentioned, the Clippers are in a spot in the standings where how good are they going to be this season? You know, it's not like a Portland situation where you necessarily blow everything up, but it's one where you get your stars healthy and give it another go next season. So he's definitely in a great spot, but a quick DFS piece of advice for all the listeners out there, if you're playing tonight, the opposite of the Clippers or the Sacramento Kings. They got down and decided to lay down last night in Boston, and they're playing in Atlanta tonight. And as we mentioned on prior podcasts, opposing centers score more points against the Kings in fantasy than any other team in the league. So Clint Capella, even Onyeka Okongwu, probably be worthy of a good look tonight, you know, for DFS or fantasy period, because even with Rashawn Holmes, the Kings are just like an abject failure right now. And yeah, so get your money, I guess.
Aaron, aren't you a Kings guy? Or you watch the Kings a lot? What's your Kings connection?
Well, so I lived in Sacramento for a year, and my little brother actually lived out there for like 5 years. So like I watched it from afar, but I'm a Wizards guy. I'm located down here in Baltimore. I grew up in D.C., so that's why the Wizards stuff last night was utterly preposterous. But I've kept an eye on the Kings and that whole situation, man, it's crazy. And then those guys that are down in Atlanta, they're gonna be worried about the Magic City Wings tonight. So I'm with you, Raf. I don't know if I trust them too much.
It's funny because from the Hawks' vantage point, it feels like just a giant trap game. As a friend was pointing out to me today, this is like monster trap game for the Hawks as well. So it all depends on how you want to look at it. All right, that is going to do it for us. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, wherever you listen. Take a minute to rate and review us as well. We're here every weekday during the regular season, and I believe tomorrow, Voice of the Hawks, Bob Rathman is going to be here with you, Raf, and Steve. So check out that. That should be fun. Want to say thanks to everyone for listening and watching live, and thanks to all of our writers for joining. Brad, Vaughn, Jared, Aaron, Raf, thanks for sticking around, guys. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Doers, mowing season is here with Spring Black Friday Savings at the Home Depot. Right now, you can get gas like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower, just $329 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.